Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new episode of Whisper in the Wings. We are excited about the two shows we're bringing you today. The first we have had on our show before. We're excited to have it back again. And the second is just a fabulous new piece that we are excited to share with you. So joining us to talk to us about these two shows, we have the creator and performer, Erin Murray Quinlan, who we're happy to welcome back. And new to our show, we have the creator and performer, Katie Kopytich, who is here to talk to us about their shows, Katie with Modern Witches and Erin with Brain Hemingway, which are playing same bill, double billed show, happening May 2nd through the 19th at the Players Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting theplayerstheater.com. We're excited to have Erin back. We're excited to have Katie here for the first time. And so with that, let's welcome on our guests, Erin, Katie, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have both of you. First of all, Erin, welcome back. It's so good to see you. Katie, it's a pleasure to have you here.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we've been swapping stories and sharing bits. Of course, you both off of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which was exciting. And now you've got these great shows coming to the Players Theater. So why don't we start by having the two of you tell us a little bit about what your shows are about. And Erin, why don't we have you refresh our listeners' drinks with your show, Brain Hemingway.
So Brain Hemingway is about a blocked writer played by myself who is haunted by the subject of her last theatrical flop, who just happens to be Ernest Hemingway. And this was our second year at Edinburgh Festival Fringe at Greenside Venues. And that's how we met Katie and saw Modern Witches and kind of saw what Appropriate Sisters shows they were.
Mm-hmm. That's because now, Katie, you've got that show, the show we just mentioned, Modern Witches. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that's about?
Yes. So complementing Brain Hemingway, Modern Witches is about a queer struggling actress on the night before her wedding who is experiencing a bit of cold feet and commitment anxiety. And she runs away to the shop where she charges candles for a living to finish an important self-tape, aka escape from her family and fiance. And in the process of trying to make this perfect take, she summons the ghost of Virginia Woolf. So you can see how these shows were just kind of meant to be together.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's fabulous. So Katie, with you being new to our show, I'd love to know, you know, how did you come up with the idea for this piece?
My sister, apropos of nothing, said that I have a wolfish profile. And because she's never made theater before, was like, that should be your next show. I had already done The Fringe once. And I was like, okay, Lauren, she's a professor. She's taught Virginia Woolf before. I was like, okay, Lauren, no problem. That's really easy. And I kind of started reading Virginia Woolf, but then I read the biography of her by Hermione Lee, all 800 pages. And there was so much in there to work with as this complex person. And then at the time, I was also going through a bit of a relationship spiral myself. My partner, who is now my wife, were open about it. So I was kind of like experiencing all this stuff at the same time. And then it just seemed to work out that I turned to modern witchcraft to sort of ground all of my spiraling thoughts and anxieties. And what happened was the show. And it's just evolved. It's changed, you know, the course of the pandemic. And now we're here and it's in its fullest realized state.
Fantastic. Now, Erin, I'm going to come to you to kick off this next question. As we've mentioned, you know, we're coming off the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. I know it's been 8 months, but, you know, coming off of it with these two shows, what has it been like developing your piece, Brain Hemingway, for this upcoming performance at the Players Theater?
So what's fun about the Fringe is that you can have so many different goals. You kind of have to pick one goal per Fringe, and we've done it twice. So our first one was kind of, here's the show. What are people saying? Get some feedback. I firmly believe that a show doesn't exist until you have it in front of an audience. So getting that feedback was really helpful in figuring out, okay, what's the next step? And then we brought a much cleaner show to this past year's Festival Fringe, and we got some really great reviews. We got some award nominations. So that went very well. And now we kind of just tuned it up for a London performance that we had in February. It's ready to go. It's ready for New York.
That is fantastic to hear. Amazing. Now, Katie, I'm interested to know what it's been like developing not only the piece overall, but of course, developing the piece and getting it ready for this double bill.
Yeah, it's similar. You know, it's funny. They say when you're going to Fringe that it's not meant to work out material, and yet that inevitably happens. So I was so certain that last August would be the grand, you know, the big hurrah, maybe even a grand finale. And then meeting Aaron and having a little bit of time to step away, kind of taking stock of what really, really worked, and then what felt, you know, doing it the 11th time, the moments that are like, you know what, that actually drags a little bit. And then just taking a stab at fixing it all. It's like, okay, well, I guess it was like, you know, similar to Aaron's process of like tightening it up again in February. And now it's like really, really ready to go. That's kind of been the same thing. I read a quote, gosh, I wish I remember who said it, but it was something along the lines of, if you want to make something good, make it. If you want to make something great, revise, revise, revise. And if you want to make something fine, remake it. And I feel like this last few months has been almost a process of remaking, fresh eyes, like really just, yeah, it's at its fullest realization, I think, as a piece, which is why I'm just genuinely so excited for this run. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, I'm excited as well. This sounds wonderful. And like the two of you have mentioned, these two pieces really do, it sounds like, go together. It's a wonderful evening, a great complement of each other's works. So, Katie, starting with you on this next question, is there a message or a thought you hope people take away from Modern Witches?
Yes. The big thing I'm exploring in it is kind of, you know, in a lot of recent stories, love stories, stories of especially like a woman's journey to happiness, there's often a relationship at the beginning and an ending in which the woman has to be alone to figure out her life. And that's like a very valuable process for many, many people. For me, as like an absorbent sponge of a person, I took in a lot of those narratives, and it kind of affected how I saw myself in commitment, thinking that, well, as an artist, if I want to really be happy or in pursuit of my dreams, I can't do that with the distraction of like this normal life of settling down. I need to be alone. And really the message of the film is that the message of the play is that, yeah, that doesn't always have to be the case. Like you can absolutely grow and be in commitment to somebody else and be an artist at the same time. If the relationship is right, you don't need to run away to pursue your dreams. So that's kind of the thing. A room of one's own does not mean being alone. And that's what the character is working through. And that's kind of the message that I'm hoping to explore. It's not necessarily like a call to action. It's just something, food for thought.
I love that. That's really fantastic. Now, Aaron, asking that same question to you once again, I mean, I love the idea of dealing with a writer who's, you know, having a block, if you will, or having a writer's block, just stuck. And I think a lot of artists can relate to that. So what is the message or thought you're hoping this time the audiences take away?
So I think my answer last time, it remains the same for the most part about your inner voice and how when somebody gives you criticism that hurts you, they say it to you once, but if you internalize it, you say it to yourself over and over again. And this current draft, it still has that aspect of it, but it's really more about, okay, well, how can you curate that inner voice? Because Hemingway is based on true life experiences of getting those bad reviews, getting those misogynistic comments, and telling them to myself over and over. And they've become this Ernest Hemingway in my head. But how, if that's me doing that, if Hemingway is actually me, I can use him to my advantage as well. So by the end of the show, I hope that is the effect, that we curate that part of our mind.
Love that. Yes. My final question for the first part of the interview is for both of you. And Aaron, I'm going to start first with you, which is, who do you hope have access to the piece? Especially, you know, you're here in New York, you're at the Historic Players Theater, and it's a double bill show. Who's the audience you hope have access?
Burned out millennials, artists who are just like, I can't do this anymore. right now we are in a climate where self-production and relying on yourself is just something that's part of what stuff is. Broadway is increasingly out of reach to both see it and write for it. And there are good things that come with that, and there are bad things that come from that. And one of the bad things is that feeling of isolation, of feeling like you're the only person doing something and that you're the only person that's going to see it. So I hope people see it and they say, oh, I feel exactly like that. This made me feel seen. It made me feel better. And it made me feel like I can go and now continue my self-production journey.
Yeah, that I'll just piggyback off of that. I think our audiences are shared in that regard. There's an element of Modern Witches in which the protagonist is increasingly frustrated with herself because she's trying to get this perfect self-tape. And it really it similarly goes into the challenges of being a self-produced or self-produced actor, an actor, and how much is placed on you, yourself, and your life to deliver a product that used to be created by the people who were asking for it, i.e. in studios. Instead, now we are expected to have a studio in our homes. And just like this strange modern landscape that is trying to put yourself out there as an artist. So I think it will appeal to all of those people. And, you know, like literary people too. Both shows are incredibly lovingly researched and nuanced and offer these very complex and humorous looks at these iconic figures. And it's like, you know, we're not just slinging Hemingway and Wolfe for engagement. Like those shows really are, they really use the mythos of these famous dead writers to tell a story about two modern writers in a very unique comparison between like the old time and the old generation and now. I think it's pretty universal.
Well, switching things up for the second half, we love giving our listeners the opportunity to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to start with you, Katie, since you're new to us, and ask our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Oh, my. This is such an embarrassing question because I feel like I always jump to Phoebe Waller-Bridge, which like is not even, it's like not even real anymore. It's more like what inspires me is anytime I see a really, really good one woman show, just absolutely surprise normies into suddenly paying attention to theater. So yes, Phoebe, classify her, Kate Berlant, Mitski, the current Mitski tour, I just wrote about it. It's so theatrical. It's so powerful. Gen Z is showing up and they're watching chair work and weird clown moves. And they're thinking that they're seeing Mitski do some crazy stuff. But I'm like, you're watching experimental theater. She got you. So it's really like any solo performer that is just, I'm not jealous of them. Of course not. I'm very, very happy for them. And maybe I used to be in my 20s. Maybe I was like, oh, I wish that was me. I wish I was famous too. But now I'm just like, oh, right. Like you made it. You made it mainstream. Like this is great for us. So yeah, I would say that's my inspiration.
That is a wonderful list of inspirations. I love that. Aaron, we've had you on the show before. So I would love to know, how did you come into the performing arts?
Wow. If you ask my family, they'll say I came out like that. My mom has said that. they used to, you know, take videos of me and I'd be singing and I'd stop and they'd say, oh, we're going to turn the camera off if you don't finish the song. And so then it became, oh, I see how things work now. So yeah, I mean, I started writing musical theater in high school. I produced my first show for my senior project. So it's kind of been just the obvious route, I guess.
I love that. That's a fantastic answer. I feel like almost all artists who are still doing the craft today, that's how our parents felt. You know what I mean? Well, they just came out singing and dancing and that. Well, Katie, coming to you now, I'd love to know, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Gosh, what is my favorite part about working in the theater would probably be, I'm a Capricorn, so it's the satisfaction of a job well done. It's like at the end. It's at the end of the show when you did it and the journey that you've been on. I wish I could say the process, the rehearsal room. I love hearing how unfinished and bad this scene is. It's all about the process. No, my favorite part is hearing it all work together, is experiencing that conglomeration of different departments, or even, the different departments that is me fractured five different ways, where it comes together for a moment of song. The audience loves it. You hear its power, or you hear whatever, what it has done for the audience. And then it concludes. It's that moment of coming togetherness of a bunch of different ideas. Yes, I do think that is the Capricorn in me, though. Just like doing it, finishing
That is a fabulous answer. Your favorite
it.
part of working in the theater is being a Capricorn. Yes.
Yeah.
Aaron, I want to ask you, what changes are you most excited about in the theater, whether they're happening now or to come?
There are so many things. We are living through some really interesting changing times, be that because of AI, be that because of what we're capable of doing on our own. But as I said before, what theater looks like is changing. What can get on a significant stage like Broadway versus off Broadway versus off Broadway is very different. But I think that means that we're going through a time where there are going to be more challenges that we have to face, which means creativity will come from necessity, which is my favorite kind of creativity. When you have a challenge and you say, oh my gosh, I don't know how we're going to solve this. And then something beautiful comes out of it. And then we are also in a time of plenty where we've got AI that can make our posters and our scripts and all of these crazy things. I'm really interested to see the intersection of that. And I'm not worried that the wrong side will win out. I think creativity wins. I think it's just going to be an uphill slog, but in uphill slogs is where all the really good stuff comes. So that's definitely what I'm most excited about.
Oh, I love that. That is a fantastic answer. And now we have arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Or, Aaron, in your case, what's another of your favorite memories?
I think the fringe, the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, is increasingly something that powers my j just my heart. I think because you'll be at the fringe and you'll have worked so hard and you've had spent so much money and you don't know what's going to happen, and then you have three people in your audience, which is very, very typical. The average audience is like five people. I think that first week, the first time I did the fringe and we had small audiences but great feedback, that was the first time that I was really able to confirm to myself that I don't care how many people see it, that I love doing it. And as long as I can still hear that laugh from the very first show I ever did, the very first laugh I heard based on a joke that I wrote, to just this past London run, j just those moments of knowing, oh, okay, this is what I want to do, and this is what I love. It's very validating.
I love that. Fantastic memory. Thank you for that. Katie, what about you? What is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, wow. It's got to be my very first play in middle school. The kid opposite me drank a Mountain Dew and forgot all of his lines, but I carried the show anyway. I was 11. Just kidding. My favorite, Justin, drank that Mountain Dew and forgot everything. I would say my favorite theater memory, Aaron just gave me the idea. It's what's coming up to the forefront of my memory right now, which is similar to the Fringe, but specifically discovering the network of other solo show performers, clowns, people that were more local, so they were able to do free festival. They were able to come in kind of later. They just seemed to live and breathe Fringe, even while the big venues had started to take over. They created this home base and this very specific venue. And it was finding that venue, the Blunda Gardens, with the bus and the tent and the food cart and the 3 a.m. cigarettes and that it was very affirming that I am not alone and there are other people with their shows in a suitcase. And yeah, maybe we all have our fragile egos and we're up against the market and we have our journeys and our pain and our joy, but we're all together. And as long as we keep going, we will keep going. It's like what Aaron said, like creativity will always win. Human creativity will always win. It's just a very strange landscape to navigate currently. But the fringe is good for that. The real fringe, the real fringe.
Yes, yes. Fabulous memory and thought as well. Thank you both for those. Those are wonderful. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
I have, Brain Hemingway might be back at the Fringe, but we're definitely bringing my husband, Evan, who plays Hemingway. He will be doing Beowulf and Grendel. He'll be in London at the end of July and then at Edinburgh Festival Fringe at the Free Fringe at CC Bloom's. And he will be performing the first 800 lines of Beowulf. And I'll be writing the score for that. So we're really excited.
That's fantastic.
Be real nerdy. All you alliterative poetry fans.
Katie, anything for you?
I don't have any live performances planned, but I have a few publications on the way and some writing in the pipeline. So you could just go to my website, click writing, and you can see all of the short stories. I write fiction and nonfiction as well. And I can't announce anything yet, but hopefully some things will be happening later this year, fingers crossed. But yeah, for now, you can just check out my work online. Coming up, Why Mitski is Going to Save American Theater in Electric Literature. That'll be released in a few weeks. So check that out. I make a very, very wacky argument about phone usage. And I hope it stirs the conversation.
I love all that. And that is a brilliant lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Modern Witches or Brain Hemingway or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
So I have brainhemingway.com, erinmurrayquinlan.com, tawnydogproductions.com, basically anything I'm involved with.com.
My website is katiekopytich.com, and I'm also on Instagram at katiekopytich, which you'll probably want to look at that those letters before you type them into your browser, which I understand completely. But that's where you can reach me and read my work.
Wonderful. Well, Aaron, Katie, thank you both so, so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing these incredible works that are double billed. I cannot wait to see the shows. They sound amazing. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Excited for you to be there and see you.
Oh, it's going to be great. My guests today have been the creator and performer Erin Murray Quinlan and the creator and performer Katie Kopytich, whose shows Modern Witches and Brain Hemingway are double billed, having a wonderful run May 2nd through the 19th at the Players Theater. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting theplayerstheater.com, and that's theater with an R-E. We also have contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you come out and join us. Let's make it a Stage Whisper night out at the theater for these two fantastic shows, Brain Hemingway and Modern Witches, playing May 2nd through the 19th at the Players Theater. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.